I put in the bulletin the messages that blessed me and seemed to have blessed others, and recommend to you to listen again to, and for the first time. Some time ago, Mandy and I were attending a Bible conference in Crossville, Tennessee. Well, I was preaching. I preached in it. And right after me, Brother Bruce Crabtree preached a message from this chapter, Luke 17. It was such a great blessing to us. We'll never forget it. Remember, Mandy, it was such a blessing. Such a blessing that I asked him, and he was going to preach for us. I said, would you please preach that message to our people? And he did. Whether I have any liberty or not this morning, and may the Word of God have liberty. It will. But if I don't, go back and listen to that message, Brother Bruce. I did. I listened to it again. This follows what we just studied. The rich man ended up in hell. Look at verses 1 through 5 in Luke 17, verses 1 through 5. Then, after that parable, he said to his disciples, it's impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee and say, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. What is the connection between faith and forgiveness? What does that have to do with forgiveness? Well, that's the title and the subject here. The Lord's dealing with faith and forgiveness. There is no forgiveness without faith. And there's no faith without forgiveness. Faith is life, the life of God in the soul. It's a gift of God. It's just another word for salvation. And God gives faith. By grace you save through faith. It's being quickened by the Word of God. It's born again by the Word of God. It's to have your eyes open. Have your ears open. Have a new heart to receive what? The Word of God. The Word of God opens your eyes to who God is. Opens your eyes to what you are. And opens your eyes to see what it took to bring such a sinner to God. This is faith. This is faith in a nutshell. You should know who God is, holy, just, righteous, will by no means clear the guilty. And I've sinned. But God, in Christ, forgave me all my sin. For Christ's sake. I could step down from here right now. And you've heard the message. Faith. There's no forgiveness without faith. God won't forgive you for turning over a new leaf or, you know, trying better or trying this or that. No, he'll forgive you one way. There's one reason. God forgives any human being for anything for Christ's sake.
That's right.
There's no forgiveness without faith. None. No forgiveness. God will forgive. Our Lord said all manner of sin shall be forgiven. All manner of sin and every single sin that every single believer on the Lord Jesus Christ has sinned. Past, present, future. Gone. Wiped out completely. God said so. No condemnation. Who is he that condemned it? God justified. How's that? Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ died. They're gone. Their sins and iniquity. He said, I'll remember no more. Why? Why? For Christ's sake. That's the only reason. He said, I didn't do this for your sake. He told Israel, I didn't choose you because you're more or better. You're just like the Egyptians. You were just like them. And there's still an old man in there that's just like them. And I'm going to forgive you, God said, because I am that I am. Because I'm your God and I chose you and I've loved you. And he said of Jacob, remember in Isaiah 43, thou hast been honorable. Don't you think Jacob said honorable? Honorable. There's no forgiveness without faith in Christ. It's only, he said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. I'm the Christ is the only way to God. The only way of forgiveness with the Holy God is through the blood of Jesus Christ and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's it. There is no other way. No forgiveness without faith. And there's no real faith. Someone does not have real faith who does not forgive others. Doesn't it? Our Lord said that. If you don't forgive, I won't forgive you. Didn't it? You know, I had a man write me, I just wrote an article about that, what our Lord said in our bulletin. On what the Lord said. If you don't forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. That's what he said. What does that mean? It means what it says. That if you don't forgive whoever, whatever, whenever, 70 times 7, I'm not going to forgive you. Is that what he said? Is that what he said? I want to see every head nod in there. That is what he said, okay? I had a man write me an anonymous letter. Means he's a coward. Means he doesn't want to discuss it with me. He's afraid to face it. An anonymous letter from in West Virginia saying, you're preaching works. You're preaching mercy conditioned on what we do. Wisdom's justified of her children then. God speak. Wisdom is justified for children. We realize that we're forgiven for Christ's sake, completely, 100%. And if I really believe that, I've got to forgive other people. I've got to show that. If I've been shown that, I most certainly will show it. Not like he did. Oh, no. So he's telling this to his disciples. I remember one time he said, except you repent, you're going to perish. All of you. James, Peter, John, all of you. Now, beginning in verse 1, it says, impossible that offenses will come. Woe unto them through whom they come. Turn to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. There's going to be offenses. It's impossible not to have offenses. Not to be offended, not to be offensive. Sin is everywhere. That's the problem. That's still our problem. Then. In sin, David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. I was shapen in iniquity. Flesh, Paul said, in my flesh, in me, that is in me. Paul said this. There's no good thing. That which offends and gets offended. All creatures are flesh. And flesh is flesh. And there's no flesh that can really get along, coexist. You see these signs on the back of Subarus? Coexist. There's my Volvo. Coexist. You've got all these religions. We need to coexist. Ain't never going to happen. Never going to happen. There are prejudices. In the animal kingdom, lions and tigers don't get along. Dogs and cats don't get along. Okay? Cardinals and blue jays. We have a bird feeder, and everybody can have anything they want. But those blue jays come and just run off. Cardinals do the same to the sparrows. Why can't they get along? Flesh. Sin. Right. Black and white. They ain't never going to coexist. North and south. We can differ because of where we live. Male and female. Ain't going to happen. Only one way. Only one way we coexist. We'll be found in that ark. Remember? It's one time in the history of the world that every animal, the wolf laid down with the lion laid down with the lamb, and dogs and cats licked each other. It's in the ark. God changed their nature. And that's a picture of Christ. So all these programs, everything's not going to bring people together. No, boy. Offenses will come. Well, James, and this goes for everybody. We're all flesh, aren't we? And we're going to be offended and be offensive. James chapter 3. Here it is. James 3 verse 2. In many things we offend. Oh. We all offend. The berries aren't like the mayhem. The mayhem is not like the berry. We really are. But we... You know how it is. Don't you? They're strange. Those are strange people. They don't do things like we do. Well, somebody said that about you. Why are we different? Just could be swabbed. We're not different. We're sinners. Read on. It says, if any man offend not in word, now here's where we all offend and are offended. In word. That man can contain his whole body. He can control his... What's the proverb says? He's that is able to control his spirit, his temper is better than he that winneth a city. More strong, stronger. Down in verse 5 says, the tongue's a little member and boasts great things. Huh. What a great matter. What a little fire kindling. It's a world of iniquity. Verse 8, the tongue can nobody tame. It's unruly. It's poison. Down and he rebukes us all. He said, now who, verse 13, who's a wise man, do with knowledge among you? Let him show. Let's see this. The conversation is works with meekness of wisdom, but if you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, don't lie against the truth. This didn't come from above. It came from that old man in you. Envy and strife, confusion. The wisdom from above, verse 17. Here it is. Christ, pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good. And the fruit of righteousness sown in peace of them that make peace. Oh, that sounds wonderful, doesn't it? It is wonderful. That's him whose name is wonderful. That's the way he was and is. And it's the way I want to be. But with man, this is impossible. Isn't it? We're all going to offend. We're going to offend. And we're going to be offended. Aren't we? Say, not me. Well, you just offended God saying that. Pride. Pride is the worst offense of all to God. It's named with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, pride. For us to boast of anything. Oh, Simon Peter did, didn't he? Oh, man. The Lord brought him, showed him what he's capable of, except for the grace of God. So our Lord says, woe. Woe, woe, woe. Offenses will come. Woe to him through whom they come. It's better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, he cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Now, go to Matthew 18. And this is the same story. Matthew 18 is when the disciples were arguing about who was greatest. And the Lord called a little child and put him on his lap in the midst of them. At Matthew 18, I want you to hold this place. We're going to keep coming back. This is the same story. Okay? And he said in verse 3, after they were arguing about who's greatest, none of you are. He was. There's nothing great about any of them. See, they forget. They forgot who they were and where they came from. In verse 3, he said, except you be converted. Talk to them and become as little children. You shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of God. Whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believeth in me. Better have a millstone hung about your neck, cast into the sea. Woe unto the world, because of offenses. They're going to come. Offenses are going to come. The world, the Pharisees were offended by Christ. They were offended by everything he said. They were offended by the truth. And they were offense to God. And they offended God's people. They offended Christ, didn't they? They laid hands on him and sold him and wanted him crucified. And the whole world did. It's going to happen. Our Lord said, if they hated me, they'll hate you. It's going to come. But don't you be the offense. Don't you be. Because he's going to gather together them all and put a millstone about the neck of everybody that hates the truth, that hates his son, hates his people, and cast them in the depth of sin. Oh, may we stand on the stone, Christ Jesus, be found in the cleft of that rock, Christ Jesus. But offenses will come. And in many things we all offend. But so here it saith. Now here's what he said. In verse 3. Go back to the text. He said, take heed to yourselves. You are not, there's nothing you can do about other people. There's nothing you can do. It's going to happen. But take heed to yourselves. Judge yourselves. If your brother, now the world's going to hate you, and our Lord even said, forgive them, but pray for them that despitefully use you. That's impossible. That's with man, it's impossible. You know, I have really, by the grace of God, the Lord has given me at times a true heart to not want the death of people that hate me, not want them to be destroyed, but want their salvation. That's not me. He says, pray for them to despitefully use you. But if your brother, who's that? That's a child of God, a professing believer. If your brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, tell him. And if he repent, forgive him. No questions asked. Right? Forgive him. Thou shalt. Look at verse 4. It says, if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, how could a brother do that? So I mean, well, that's what the Lord said. And in 7 times a day, he said, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thou shalt forgive him. No questions asked. And so that's when Peter, they all said, all of them said, Lord, increase our faith. What's faith got to do with forgiveness? I've already told you. If you really realize how much God has forgiven you, if you really believe that, it shouldn't be a problem to forgive others that have never done to me what we've done to him. Ever. Shouldn't be a problem, but it is. So he says, take heed to yourself. It was Simon Peter in Matthew 18. Peter came to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? 7 times. Peter, it's almost like Simon Peter said, how much do I have to take? How long suffering do I have to be? I mean, when can I just cut him off, Lord? Tell me how many times. He said, 70 times 7. 490 times, which is a definite number, meaning keep on forgiving. Keep on forgiving. Don't ever stop forgiving.
keep on forgetting. Why? He never stops forgiving. Aren't you glad? Don't you love? Aren't the sweetest words in God's word to you, His mercy endureth forever? To a sinner, those are the sweetest words you ever heard. Sweetest note on the seraph's His mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. One song, 26 times, His mercy endureth forever. Every bird. Ah, boy. So our Lord says, take a good look. Take heed to yourself. If not, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. There's no real faith. You really don't believe. You really don't know what you've done. You really don't believe what you are to God by nature. You really don't believe that. You really don't believe that you've done anything amiss. You really don't believe you need repentance right now. You really don't believe that if you don't forgive. Now, man offends. Go back to Luke 17. Man offends, and yet, you know, God allows whatever happens to happen. That He said that the spirit of Antichrist, the mystery of iniquity, doth already work, only he who lets it. Nothing. The wrath of man is going crazy. And the remainder of wrath, He restrains. Nothing, no one, everything is under the control of God. Everything. Every offense. Every offense. Our Lord said to His disciples, they're going to take you. They're going to kill you. They're going to... He said, now not one hair of your head's going to fall until I say it's time. And then your heads are going to fall. But the Lord allows every offense to happen. He allows it. It wouldn't happen if He didn't. Now here's faith. That no matter who it is, no matter what it is that happens to me, God did it. Eli, they came to Eli. Now Eli wasn't being a faithful man. You know that? He wasn't being a faithful high priest. He got old and fat and lazy in his eyesight, and he forgot to light the lamp. The lamp went out. He had one job, basically, light the lamp. And he didn't. And God had already purposed to take the ark away and put God's people in captivity. Okay? And He sent the Philistines. And through Samuel, the Lord told him, Eli, the Lord's going to kill your sons, both of them. They were bad boys, weren't they? They're bad. What did Eli say? It is the Lord. Who killed them? The Philistine did. Who did? No, it's the Lord. The Lord sent the Philistine to kill his son. And here's faith. The Lord did it. Was he thinking, I'm a lousy father. I'm a lousy preacher. I'm a poor excuse for a believer. Whatever God sends, I deserve it. Didn't he? You know he did. David. The Lord said, the sword's not going to depart from your hand. Why? David said, I deserve it. But now, hold on. God doesn't kill people for the sins of their fathers. He doesn't kill the fathers for the sins of the sons and vice versa. He doesn't do it. God is merciful. God is gracious. God deals with individuals. But every single person is convicted of their own sins. Say, whatever God sends my way, whatever it is, I deserve it. When Shimei came to cuss David, his dear friend said, I'm going to take his head. He said, no, the Lord sent him to cuss me. I deserve worse. I deserve worse. Job. Everything that could happen to Job happened. The Sabaeans, the Chaldeans killed all his children, all of them, took all his goods. He didn't blame the Sabaeans. He didn't blame the Chaldeans. He said, the Lord did this. The Lord took it all away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Just don't take my salvation. Just don't take away my hope. The fact of the matter is we've never done to our Lord what I mean, we people have never done to us what we have done to our Lord. Never will. None will ever do to us a fraction of what we have done and do and will maybe yet do. We just don't know what we're going to do. We just don't know. If you'd have told David what he was going to do when he was 30 or 40 years old, he said, God forbid, but he did. And that's why pride is such an offense to our Lord. Pride. And to forget him, here's how we offend our Lord. We forget him. We murmur. We complain. Kind of like a pardoned criminal complaining of his lot in life. Be like old Barabbas. I thought of Barabbas. When Barabbas first heard that you're free to go, they came and got Barabbas. He was dead. He was getting ready to die. They're going to put him on that one of those crosses. And they came and got Barabbas and said, Barabbas, they opened the gate and said, go, you're free. You're free. You're not going to die. Go, you're free, Barabbas. Why? Well, they bring him out there and say, look on that cross right there. That man took your place. Well, who is he? He's innocent. He's the Holy One of Israel. He's God's son. Why is he hanging there? But for you. He's hanging there for you. He buried his sins and your sins in his body on the tree. He's taking the punishment that was due to you, Barabbas. He is captive so you may go free. He's going to die so that you might live. He's going to be just. He's going to be condemned so that you be cleared, Barabbas. What's his name? Jesus of Nazareth. He's the Christ, the Messiah, the substitute, the Holy One of Israel, who came to die for his people. By his stripes are healed. Taken captivity so the captives go free. That's him. You're going free, Barabbas. Whew, man. And what if Barabbas, and he's living in a house, and he's got everything he needs, he's free, he's not dead. What if he starts complaining? What if somebody treats him badly? What if somebody does something wrong to him? That's us. That's every one of us. From the oldest to the youngest. That's every one of us. That was what the whole Psalm 106 is all about. That's why we read it. All of it starts out with praise the Lord now. Praise the Lord for his goodness. Praise the Lord for his great work. What's the Lord's greatest work? Redemption. Salvation. Forgiveness of sins. For who? The unforgivable. And it ends that way. Oh, praise the Lord. He remembers for it. We forget him. He'll never forget us. We forget to be merciful. He never forgets to be merciful. We don't forgive. he always, everything. Freely. Because he is. Oh my. So disciples got a little glimpse of this. May we get a little glimpse. And they said, Lord, you've got to increase my faith. And old Brother Bruce brought this out so well. I love it. He said, they had faith. They didn't have it before. The Lord came along and chose them and called them and brought them and bought them and taught them and did everything for them. And they had little faith. Little faith, not too much, but they had faith. Little faith, saving faith. The Lord asked one time, who do the men say that I am? And they said, they say this and they say that, like today. Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're my only hope. You're my salvation. You're my redemption. You're my Lord that chose me, that bought me, that brought me, that taught me. You're my all. You're my everything. You're my salvation. Do you believe that? You believe that? Ed, you believe that? I do. I do. I have this precious faith. I've been given this precious faith. And boy, it's sure not much, is it? The Lord said, if you had faith of a grain of a mustard seed, So you're not much, but it's a little bit of faith, and it's saving faith. Lord, I believe. And you know what we all say? Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. At times when I don't act like I don't believe at all, I blame everything and everyone, and I shouldn't blame anybody. Blame everything and everyone but me. I believe. Help my unbelief. I believe. But I forget, I fail, I fall. Help me, Lord. Help me, help me, help me. Old Brother Bruce said this, those who have faith want more. And to whom, those who have more will be given. Faith. Fruit. Mercy. Love. Those who have love, true love for God's salvation, will be given more. Those who have love think they don't have any. Those who have true love say, I don't. John Newton's poem. Here's a point I long to know. Oft it causes me anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? If I love, why am I thus? Is that so with you? Those who have love want more. Those who don't have any won't care. Lord, increase my faith. We had just a little faith. Our Lord said this in verse 6, if you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed. And he chose mustard, and it's like that plaster. I did a whole message on that. Mustard plaster Elijah put on Hezekiah's. It's symbolic of the gospel. Our Lord called the gospel a grain of mustard seed. The mustard tree, that's him. If you had the grain of a mustard seed, just an ounce of the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'd say this sycamine tree. You see sycamore trees everywhere? Everywhere. They grow mostly by the water. And they grow big, tall. They're everywhere. You rarely see one of those fall over. Not by the water. Their roots, you know why? Because their roots are deep, planted by the water, planted by the rivers of water, and their roots take deep. And if you had an ounce of this faith, he said, you'd say to the sycamine tree that's deeply rooted, something that's deeply rooted within, you say, be gone. And it'll obey you. And one time he said, the mountains, he said, if you say this mountain, be gone. Cashman said, these things are rooted in us. You know that? Self, pride, hatred, malice. Peter said, put away wrath and malice. Put away this and put away that. These things are rooted in us. And what does it take? Lord, help me. Increase my faith. Dig the matter. Lord, take the axe to the root of the matter. And get rid of this. It's in me. Please, it's been in me from birth. I want it gone. This mountain, I make mountains out of molehills. Don't we? Well, let me close with it. And then the Lord said this in verse 7. Which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he's come from the field, go and sit down to meat? No, you rather say unto the servant, make ready wherewith I may sup. Gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken. Afterward you eat and drink. And does he thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded of him? I trow not. No, he's got a master and a servant. He just talked about serving God, man. Himself. It says, so likewise, verse 10, when you so have done all those things which are commanded of you, say this, we're unprofitable servants. We've just done that which was our duty to do. Not merit, it's mercy. All right, what is the Lord saying to you? Well, a servant is chosen, aren't they? A rich owner chooses who will be his servant. And that's all of God's people. They're chosen. You didn't choose me, Christ said. I chose you. All right. They were freely and graciously chosen, given a place given a home, given food, given raiment, and every grace and everything required of a servant. The master provides it all. Everything. You have it all. You're not working for this. I'm giving it to you. You're just working for me. Over my servant. All right, the servant. Have we not freely been given all things graciously by our Lord, chosen by Him, given all things, provided all things in Christ? He is our raiment. He is our food. He is our dwelling place. He is our all. He's promised, I'll give you all things. Just serve me. Just serve my cause. How's that? My people. Not yourself. My people. Me. Because they're me. All right? The servant is unworthy. The servant is unworthy. He didn't earn that job. The servant didn't earn that job. He was given that job. And we're in God's kingdom, not because we're better than anybody, but because God chose us and put us in the kingdom. All right? And the servant works for his master or his master's cause, his master's estate, out of love and mercy, and a sign of his love and mercy and grace and kindness to him. And he serves willingly, and he serves cheerfully, and he serves gratefully and thankfully, realizing I could be out there on the street. I could have been left out. I could be. I'm here because He chose me and brought me and bought me and taught me. And the servant said, "I'm just thankful to be here. What will you have me to do? What do you have me to do? I'd rather be a doorkeeper. Just let me be a doorkeeper in the house of God. And after all I've done, if I do anything." If I do anything for the cause of Christ, it's not merit. It's unworthy of notice. But it's just my reasonable service. Anything I ever do for anybody, anything, is just what I ought to do for all that He's done for me. And here's what I am after it's all said and done. I'm just an unworthy nobody from nowhere. And He's worthy. He alone is worthy. That's a servant. My duty, my delight, for all that He's done for me. Well, what about forgiveness? That's where we come back. That's where it's all started. Forgiveness. And our Lord gave it. I was going to have you turn to Matthew 18 where He gave that. He said, the servant, He said He came and He saw a servant that owed Him 10,000 talents. And the master pitied him. The master pitied him. He owed a lot of money. He pitied him. And he just frankly forgave him everything. And he was so grateful. And what did that man do? He went out and grabbed somebody by the neck that owed him 500 talents. Pay up. I might let you go. And our Lord said the master was wroth. Nothing makes him more angry because of all he'd done for them. So, Lord, increase our faith. Make us to see how much you've forgiven us. Make us to see how unworthy we are. Jacob said this when his life was over. He said, I'm unworthy of the least of thy mercies, you've shown me. And all the truth you've shown me, all the times you've told me, all the times you've warned me, all the times you've taught me, all the times you've showed me, kept showing me. Like a weasel. I'm not going to give you up. I'm not going to give you up to yourself. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to chasten you. I'm going to rebuke you. Until you're brought down to see what great things the Lord has done for you. That's faith. That's faith. And that's forgiveness. All right, Brother John, you come.